All across America and around the world, this is Veterans Radio.
This is Veterans Radio.
And now, your host for today's program, Dale Thronberry.
And welcome to Veterans Radio. My name is Dale Thronberry, CW2 type helicopter pilot in Vietnam in 1969. Want to welcome you to our program today. It's our monthly benefits program. We've kind of missed a couple of those because of Thanksgiving and Christmas. So if you have any questions for our experts, you can give us a call right here on WAAM. The number is 734-822-1600. I also wanted to remind our audience, or let our audience know, that we are on other stations around the country, and I wanted to give them a little shout out. So in addition to WAM in Ann Arbor, Michigan, we are on WDTK 1400 in Detroit, KFOW 1170 in Owatonna, Minnesota. I like that one. Owatonna, Minnesota. And KMET 1490 in the Redlands, California. And we're always looking for more affiliates. So if you know of a station and wherever you may be that might be interested in carrying Veterans Radio, let us know. We'd be happy to get in touch with them and see if we can work something out. As I mentioned, our program today is our benefits program, and our guests are going to include Brian Hayes, who's the communications director for the Ann Arbor VA Healthcare Center here in Ann Arbor, better known as the Charles S. Kettles Healthcare Hospital and so forth. And also retired Air Force Brigadier General Carol Ann Falzone. It's from here from Legal Help for Veterans. And so we're going to be talking about healthcare. We're going to be talking about benefits. And as I mentioned before, hopefully answering any questions that you might have. And we are always excited to be able to help anybody out there. There's so many things going on right now. I'm just going to bring our guests on immediately. So Brian, welcome back to Veterans Radio.
Hi, thanks. U.S. Navy Operations Specialist, Second Class, Brian Hayes, reporting for duty.
Oh, great. I've got Carol Ann Falzone also. So Carol Ann, welcome back.
Welcome, Dale and Brian, and Happy New Year to everybody as we try to help our veterans and, nurse on board. So let's roll.
Okay, we got all kinds of things. For those of you that are used to hearing Michael Smith, from the Washtenaw County Veterans Service Office, Michael has retired. And good for him. We wish him the best of luck, and hopefully he's off enjoying himself doing whatever it is that he likes to do with a nice free Sunday afternoon. So, all right, we're going to start off with the VA healthcare system, and Brian is our expert on that. So there are a lot of things going on.
Well, yeah, Dale, I mean, it just so happens that, it's the time of the year where we often have a lot of things going on, but then there's a lot of national stuff on top of that that's going on. Of course, we've been talking about the PACT Act since last August. That's huge, right? So that's that's one of those things that kind of covers so many veterans and gives them a chance to get into the to VA healthcare system. It expands. It's a new law, in case you haven't heard. It's a new law, in case some of your listeners haven't heard, that it expands VA healthcare and benefits for veterans exposed to burn pits, Agent Orange, and other toxic substances. And it goes back all the way through into Vietnam for Vietnam veterans. And those folks can come to events that we hold. You can come to the medical center or in one of our CBOCs, and you can get screened for these things, have your duty screened. And, we can possibly get you into the healthcare system so that you can get the care you need from these exposures. And that's the PACT Act.
Yeah, I understand that it is now mandatory, I guess, to give everyone a toxic screen.
Yeah. So when you come in for a regular appointment, you will get a toxic screen. We've screened at our hospital, I want to say around 11,000 so far, and followed up with nearly all of those. There's just a handful where we're having a little trouble getting, reconnected with them by phone. But for the most part, all of them have been screened. Some of them are positive in their screens, and we're able to help get them the benefits that they have coming to them for these exposures.
So do you know what this screening includes? Does it include blood tests, or is it just were you exposed? Yes.
It's a questionnaire. Yeah. It's a questionnaire. Where did you serve? You know, usually, especially if you're not already involved in the system, you know, you want to have your DD-214 with you. So, cause your DD-214 will have the areas that you served in, and the years that, you know, when you served, and we can check that. We can also check, things like symptoms, right? So it's a questionnaire about symptoms, questionnaire about, where did you serve and when did you serve? And then once that's positive, then it goes to the next level where, you know, you get scheduled for an appointment and we start digging in there and seeing what's happening. Yeah.
So, Brian, a question already. I'm getting a little feedback that veterans are going in and they're trying to get enrolled and do the toxic screen, and they're being asked, what is your level of income? Shouldn't that not even be addressed? Could you help me with that?
Well, it's the questionnaire is established by the law and sent to us through, you know, VA, the national office. So we can't deviate from that. So I'm not, you know, personally, I'm not entirely sure why that question would be on there, but it's a question that you usually get when you come for VA benefits anyway.
Right, but it could
determine whether you might have a copay for certain other conditions, you know, things like that. But, you know, for these conditions, if you have one of the 20 presumptive conditions that are due to an exposure, a toxic exposure, you wouldn't have a copay. But as you know, if you get involved in VA healthcare and you're seen for something that's not due to service connection, you have a pretty nominal copay.
Good. And I'm not worried about the copay, but I'm just worried about them stopping asking that question and not going on to do the testing. And you're telling me, no, that shouldn't happen.
No, it shouldn't. We shouldn't be like ending the questionnaire at that point.
Yes, that's what I'm getting at.
Yeah. Just that shouldn't be a stop. That's just a part of the interview process. Yeah.
I think if I remember right, when you first signed up for VA benefits, healthcare benefits, that they did ask for your income level because you got kind of put into a category.
Mm-hmm.
You get it for free, or if you had a certain income, you were supposed to pay out. I think we'll kind of push that question off into the future to find out a little bit more about that. Maybe next week I can answer that for everybody. What I thought was interesting with the PACT Act and the people that were exposed to the burn pits was all of the countries that they've added to the list. I have that in front of me, and I don't butcher all of these, but you know, it was there because there's Iran, there's Kuwait, there's Iraq, there's Oman, there's Qatar, Somalia, Saudi Arabia, United Arab Emirates, Afghanistan, Djibouti, Egypt, Lebanon, Syria, it's on there twice, Uzbekistan, and Yemen. Mm-hmm. And, they may add more countries as needed.
Mm-hmm.
And I wanted to put that out there because so many veterans that may say, well, I never got to Iraq or Afghanistan. Well, you got to those other places.
Right.
Maybe you've been exposed.
That's exactly right.
It's like adding to the list for the Agent Orange. Again, for our audience's sense, and I don't mean to step on Brian's thing here, but not just Vietnam anymore.
That's right. It includes, you know, all of the Persian Gulf conflicts going back to Desert Storm, right? And then, you know, Desert Shield, Desert Storm up through the Iraq-Afghanistan wars, and all of everything in between. So, and then, of course, the Vietnam exposures with Agent Orange.
They added two major presumptive disabilities to the Vietnam veterans, and I had it here somewhere. One is hypertension.
Yep.
And the other one was something I couldn't pronounce.
I know which one you're talking about. Carol Ann could probably pronounce it. I couldn't either. It's something to do with a blood disorder, I believe.
Right. It is to do with your blood disorder.
Yeah.
Yes.
I'll find it. And as soon as I do, I'll bring it up again. I got too many papers down here talking about it. But I did want, the VA's got a great website page available.
Mm-hmm.
To look, you know, if you are concerned to think that you qualify or don't qualify. So encouraging our audiences of veterans to go onto their site and just in the search engine, check PACDAC, and it'll all come up.
Please do. There's there are volumes of things written about it, but if you want to get the and a lot of rumors going around about how it works and stuff like that. So I really encourage folks, you know, who are listening, if you're interested, if this sounds like something that may affect you, please go to www.va.gov/PACT. They have a very nice, comprehensive, very easy to use webpage that's broken down into eras and presumptive conditions and all of the things where, you know, you may be affected. There are 20 more presumptive conditions based on the PACT Act, and that's a lot.
That's a lot. You know, the interesting thing is the hypertension, which we know could be secondary to so many diseases. Mm-hmm. But I really want people to look, because we've seen the cases escalate on the different cancers that mm-hmm. were never identified before. Reproductive, mm-hmm. There's so many, especially the maybe the esophageal, you know, lung, the throat, the stomach, the liver, pancreas. So yeah. I think it's really critical that if you have any suspicion or any doubt or any questions, please call. I mean, you don't realize what you might be eligible for, and potentially your family down the road, if you don't come in and ask.
That's important. That's an important point. It isn't just for us veterans. There are also survivor benefits for veterans under the PACT Act. So if you have a loved one who has passed on due to one of these conditions, you may receive benefits.
I found it's monoclonal gammopathy.
That's it.
Yeah, that's
good luck.
MGUS.
Yeah. MGUS, yep.
Yeah, okay. MGUS. MGUS. I've heard it's called MGUS before.
Okay. The other areas for our listeners from the Vietnam era is now the PACT Act also covers if you were in Thailand during the Vietnam conflict, Laos, Cambodia, and especially from April 69 through April of 70 when the little incursion occurred, Guam and American Samoa, and the Johnston Atoll. Mm-hmm. And the other thing that they added that I thought was really interesting was the exposure to nuclear exposures.
Yes.
And radiation.
Radiation exposures.
I don't know who finally got this whole thing put together, but they did a great job of figuring out what it was that everybody had been exposed to, and maybe start explaining why so many people are having issues.
Right.
Immediately all the way out 50 years too.
And you know, you think about it a couple years ago, Dale, I think we were involved with a documentary that came out on burn pits. And initially it was just, you know, Afghanistan and Iraq. So I do want to take my hat off to the VA, because instead of piecemealing it, they looked at going all the way back, all the areas that potentially there could have been some exposures with burn pits. So I do think that was done extremely well. And I just want to give a shout out on the Legal Help for Veterans side. I've got like 22 ebooks, and we've just updated the burn pit ebook with all the presumptives. We have a presumptive there. It's called presumptives. And then we also have a PACT Act ebook, and these are all free. So to the listening audience, please just go in and pull those up. They've been updated as of last month with all of the changes, as Brian has said, as this evolved from August of 2022.
Yeah.
And there's more. So we are talking here with Brian Hayes he's the communications director for the Ann Arbor Healthcare System here in Ann Arbor, and Carol Ann Falzone from Legal Help for Veterans. I want to go back to Brian, because I know we got off on a little tangent there on benefits and so forth.
That's okay.
But
that's what we're here for, right? Know, to get information out to veterans.
And there is a ton of new information. Mm-hmm. So moving on with the PACT Act. So what else have we got?
Well, you know, we have the new Compact Act, if that's what you're alluding to. The Compact Act is another really cool service that VA is now offering as of January 17th, something that has been necessary for a long time because, you know, everybody at VA, we want to make sure all veterans and former service members know that they can get that free world-class healthcare and emergency suicide care. That's what Compact is about. And this is, you know, this emergency suicide care is available when they need it, no matter where they are, no matter what the nature of their service was or their discharge at this point. We just want to make sure that every veteran is cared for. And a VA will cover, costs for emergency suicide care, whether you come to a VA or get it at another location. So that's kind of the big thing. So VA will deliver and pay for emergency suicide care for all veterans in acute suicidal crisis at a VA or a non-VA facility. That's an important thing to remember, including transportation costs.
Yes. And inpatient.
Yeah, and we'll refer them for up to 30 days of free inpatient care or 90 days of outpatient care for the emergency suicide treatment. So
I think that's so important. There are generations, unfortunately, of veterans that sometimes get into a crisis mode and they're frozen because they don't know where to go.
That's right.
You can go anywhere.
That's right. Yeah. If you're in crisis, if you're a veteran in crisis, just get the care you need and VA will take care of it.
And I think it's really, this is a super new change, Brian, but I do want to reiterate, to get the bills paid, just get the veteran there. And then whether it's, non-VA, a private, but then they should notify, the family should notify the VA. I'm looking at the new reg within 72 hours of the care. I think that's really important. Before we used to have to do it a lot quicker and they wanted you to go to a VA facility, but I think it's real important that you notify the VA, your treatment center, if you are in another hospital, regarding this new act.
Exactly.
And we've got a caller on the phone who has a question, about Camp Lejeune. So I'm not sure where we'll go with that, but Mike, welcome to Veterans Radio. What is your question?
Yeah, we had 275 Marines blown up in Beirut. Then we come home and learn that we're drinking bad water. They're dragging their feet on this legal battle. Why are they doing that? Why don't they just give us compensation?
I'm not qualified to answer that question, but I do know that they are separate programs from what I understand. Is that right, Brian? Is that what you understand?
Camp Lejeune is included as part of the PACT Act. So you would just get screened like you would with any other of the toxic exposures, and then you would come in and get services. I don't know what the legal battles are. I can't get into that. I know there's a lot of predatory legal stuff on television commercials and things like that, trying to get veterans to, you know, create lawsuits that they don't need. All you got to do is apply for benefits and you get it, you know.
Right. So there is two elements of this. And if the caller wants to call in, I could give the number. We have a firm within, you know, Legal Help for Veterans that's handling our cases. There's no cost to help adjudicate some of these cases that are out there. And sir, I think your name is Mike. That is moving along. It's a little separate. We hear there's billions of dollars out there. There are firms and that are handling this. But, you know, to get your benefits through the VA and then to go after the Camp Lejeune lawsuit are two different things. But you have to come in and apply and be tested.
Right. And you avoid these predatory lawyer firms that are out there saying that you can't do anything without them. Yeah. So you don't need them in this case. I don't think so. I would suggest, and I know that Caroline just alluded to it, is that I'll bet you if you call Legal Help for Veteran, they'll help you get that taken care of. or the least.
Absolutely.
I'll give you that number here real quick. The number to call is 800-693-4800. And as Brian just pointed out, it's just like all the other things that are covered under the PACT Act. You still got to get into the VA system if you're not there right now, and we'll get you going.
And Mike, thank you for your service and the other Marines. We've been handling the cases for the Marines. Please, when you call into Legal Help for Veterans tomorrow, and I hope you do it, ask for me personally and say that you heard me on Veterans Radio, and I will get your call and some of your information.
Okay. Thanks very much. All right. Moving right along. So,
more stuff? You ready for more stuff from VA Ann Arbor? Yeah, sure. So those are the two sort of benefits related things that I wanted to point out and talk about. And we have lots of people that can work with you when you come into the medical center or any of the CBOX. And we've got tons of outreach going on. We've already done quite a bit just in the last couple of months. And throughout the rest of the year, we're loading up the calendar with outreach for PACT Act. So we'll be coming to an area near you with what I like to call our roadshow. And it's got, we'll have folks there who are from eligibility who can work on that right away. We'll have nurses on hand who can do the screenings right there. And we'll have folks who can talk about, you know, how you get that done, right? And give instructions and, you know, so you can get it right from the horse's mouth. So the outreach is a major component of the PACT Act. We want to make sure folks see all that. Go ahead, Dale.
I just wanted to let people know that this is not just at the Ann Arbor VA. This is going on at VA health centers across the country.
Oh yeah, yeah, it's national. So that's a national program.
The VA is really sounds like they're really out there promoting this program. They're really out there to help you folks out.
And everybody is.
One of the myths is that can't handle it. Well, they're hiring. And Brian's going to point out in a minute they're going to be a job fair locally. But they are across the country so that they can handle these claims.
Yeah, for sure. There's, you know, I know from VBA, I believe, is hiring 5,000 people. That's the Veterans Benefits Administration. I think they're doing a massive hiring blitz across the country to add 5,000 people so that they can handle all the claims that are coming in. So they're growing. And then on the medical side, we're doing a hiring event this time mainly for nurses. So RNs, LPNs, nurse assistants, and police officers. We are in need of, our law enforcement folks at VA. So if that's something that interests you and you live, in or around the Ann Arbor, Michigan area, I encourage you to come out on February 10th from between 9 a.m. and 3 p.m. And, we'll do an expedited hiring process. We've gotten special clearance from the Office of Personnel Management for these kind of hiring events, and we can speed up that process. Cause you know, I mean, I think most people are familiar that getting hired by the federal government is kind of a lengthy process, but they've chopped that down considerably specifically for these, high need, professions that we're looking for.
Great.
Brian, as you talked about CBOX, are there any new CBOX coming on board? You know, we have Canton, which is great. But are there any other ones that have been designated to come on board for us in Michigan?
Well, the clinics, we're trying to steer away from that CBOC language because that's so inside baseball. So it's really just a VA outpatient clinic.
Okay.
So we have Adrian has come online. That we brought them on last October, the year before last. And then just this past October, we brought on our Howell clinic. So that's up and running and it's doing really well. We'll be doing celebrations for these, I think, in early summer because we've been waiting finally for COVID to give us a break so we could have some gatherings of people. And I believe that's happening now. And then, of course, Canton is up and running and we're going to be doing that toward the end of spring. There'll be a big celebration, naming ceremony and dedication. I don't know if you had heard, or I think I talked about it last time, and it was actually signed into law by the president. The Canton Clinic is now known as the Major General Oliver W. Dillard VA Outpatient Clinic. Yeah, Ollie Dillard was a force to be reckoned with in the Army. He's actually served in three wars. He joined during World War II, served in Korea and Vietnam, He was in the intelligence community, so he was at Fort Huachuca and a few other places. And he, the number of firsts next to his name is a long list. So if you ever just are interested in who Ali Dillard was, just feel free to Google his name and look at the wiki on it. Oliver W. Dillard. Great, great. He's got a great name. I just love saying it.
All right. Well, we're here on Veterans Radio, and we're here to answer your questions about VA healthcare and or VA benefits. So the number today is 734-822-1600. What else we got, Brian? I know there's other.
Well, yeah, I just wanted to mention, you know, we've been talking about this for 10 years, and we're finally here. Our women's clinic is finally opening February 15th. What is it? About 2 weeks from now, a little more than 2 weeks from now. And we'll be taking our first patient on that day. And then later on in March, during Women's Health Month, we'll be celebrating the opening of that clinic with a ribbon cutting.
That's terrific.
So I'm just really, really happy to be able to report that.
Yeah. Well, there's been and for those of you in Southeast Michigan or around the Ann Arbor VA, there's been an awful lot of construction going on in there over the last couple of years. And it appears that they are starting to open up new areas weekly almost.
Yeah. Well, we're definitely expanding. You know, we're on this sort of plot of land that we can't go outward. So we have to go inward and upward. So we're adding services and building onto the hospital all the time. I think we have about $450 million worth of construction going on right now.
Are there any, Brian, the reason I'm bringing this up is someone noted to me the other day that the audio has been out at Packard for the last almost 5 years and other services were going to be moving out there and expanding. Are there any other locations that are going to be expanding any services?
Well, our Toledo, we're going to be expanding the size of Flint and Jackson. There's going to be growing to about twice their size. This is all occurring over the next 5 years as part of the strategic plan. And also the Toledo Clinic will be expanding about 20,000 feet. We're going to be adding a lot of special. That'll give them a different designation. They'll become a healthcare center as opposed to what we call a CBOC. It's all inside baseball language, basically an ambulatory center where more specialty care will be there and the like. It's just sort of a hospital without the inpatients.
Okay. Oh, while I'm thinking about it, I wanted to give a shout out to the Student Veterans of America, the University of Michigan's chapter, who just had a fundraiser for the Fisher House and over the weekend, and they raised over $30,000.
Massive.
For the Fisher House. And for those of you that are listening elsewhere in the country, most of you are familiar with what a Fisher House is. It's sort of like a McDonald's house for families to stay in while their veteran is receiving care at their local Veterans Administration hospital system. So I wanted to make sure that we got to give them a shout out. And I'm going to be setting up here for a little break. So I got to warn Derek that we're going to take a real quick break, and we are anticipating your questions here on Veterans Radio today. The number again is 734-822-1600. We're talking with Brian Hayes, who's the PR communications director at the Ann Arbor Healthcare System, and retired General Carol Ann Fatsone from Legal Health for Veterans. So we're going to take a break, and we will be right back after this.
The Medal of Honor is the highest award for valor in combat given a member of the Armed Forces of the United States. There have been over 3,400 recipients of the nation's highest award. This is one of them. Lieutenant Edward Isaac escaped twice from the Germans during World War I. Details after this.
If you have a VA claim denied by the Board of Veterans Appeals, contact Legal Help for Veterans at 1-800-693-4800. They're experts in handling cases before the U.S. Court of Appeals for Veterans Claims. Their number again, 1-800-693-4800.
Isaac was captured and held as a prisoner on board the German submarine U-90 when the USS President Lincoln was attacked and sunk. Upon the return of the submarine to Germany, he was confined in a prison camp. During his stay on the U-90, he obtained information of the movements of German submarines, which was so important that he determined to escape with a view to making this information available to the U.S. and Allied naval authorities. In attempting to carry out this plan, He jumped through the window of a rapidly moving train at the imminent risk of death, not only from the nature of the act itself, but from the fire of the armed German soldiers who were guarding him. Having been recaptured and reconfined, Lieutenant Isaac made a second successful attempt to escape, breaking his way through barbed wire fences and deliberately drawing the fire of the armed guards in the hope of permitting others to escape during the confusion. He made his way through the mountains of southwestern Germany, having only raw vegetables for food, and at the end, swam the Rhine River during the night in the immediate vicinity of German sentries to reach Allied forces.
The Medal of Honor series is a production of Veterans Radio.
Military veterans touch everyone's life. I'm guessing right now you're thinking of a veteran, a close friend, relative. Maybe it's you. Even the toughest of us sometimes need help, but don't know where to turn for support. You don't need special training to help a veteran in your life. We can all help someone going through a difficult time. Learn how you can be there for veterans. Visit VeteransCrisisLine.net. VeteransCrisisLine.net. A message from the U.S. Department of Veterans Affairs.
And we're back here on Veterans Radio, and it is Benefits Week, so we want to make sure that you give us a call if you can. Before I go to our next questions or our next topic, I want to make sure that we do thank our sponsors. We can't do the program without them. Number one on the list is Legal Help for Veterans. They specialize in veterans' disability claims, so you can give them a call at 800-693-4800. The National Veterans Business Development Council, better known as NVBDC, is the nation's leading third-party authority for certification of veteran-owned businesses. For more information, you can go to their website, nvbdc.org, or give them a call at 888-237-8433. You want to do business with the federal government or some corporations, and you are a veteran-owned business, you need to be certified. We'll make sure you get that done. The Charles S. Kettles VA Medical Center here in Ann Arbor, Michigan. For more information, you can go to va.gov/Ann-Arbor-Healthcare. Also, we want to thank the Irwin Prescorn American Legion Post 46 and the Charles S. Kettles Vietnam Veterans of America Chapter 310, both of Ann Arbor, Michigan. If you want to support Veterans Radio, you can just go to our website, veteransradio.net. Click on the donate. We are a production of Veterans Radio America, which is a 501c3 nonprofit corporation. Okay, took care of that. I wanted to get one piece of news out. We're talking here, as I mentioned, with Brian Hayes and Carol Ann Falzone. But I got it this article this morning. I think it came from Military Times. It says the VA housed over 40,000 homeless veterans in 2022. That's an increase of almost 5,000 over the year before. And again, I want to give kudos to what the VA is doing to help these veterans. Unfortunately, that the number of homeless veterans luckily has started to go down finally, but it is still higher than the average American citizen, and women veterans numbers are even higher. So we've got to make sure that we can do everything we can to help make sure that these veterans get off the street and to get into someplace where they can feel safe. So.
That's an outstanding point, Dale. It's real interesting because most of the female veterans who are out there have children, and then it's harder for placement, with, a female and children. So thank you for bringing that up. I just wanted to point out when you talked about the event the other night with, our Ann Arbor Fisher House, I do believe there was some great news coming out of Detroit, and Brian, you could maybe validate this, but I believe there will be a second Fisher House in Michigan. Mm-hmm. Detroit has been declared that they will receive one like Ann Arbor did.
Yep, that was established last year, and now within the last a couple months, they've actually secured the property to get it done. That was the hardest part, getting the land to make that happen, and that's done. So now it can move forward, and things can be approved, and construction can begin. And yes, there will be a Fisher House in Detroit.
That's right. The Charles Dingell VA Medical Center over there. And actually at the dinner the other night, the representative from Fisher House National, I guess I would call him. Anyway, he was saying it's going to be a 20-room or 20 room facility, which is larger than the normal Fisher House configuration. And if it's anything like the Ann Arbor Fisher House, it's going to be great.
It'll be beautiful. And that's just a little bit bigger. Ours is the medium size one with 16 rooms. And that one will be the large size Fisher House. It's great. And I got to tell you, just bear me the pain of giving you a number. But these Fisher Houses do such a great job. We serviced over 1500 families just last year, just in our Fisher House. Yeah,
they gave out a number of, they were anticipating 7,000 the first year in Detroit. Mm-hmm. So, and this is totally free for those of you that are, listeners out there. These Fisher Houses are totally free, and they are built by the Fisher House Foundation, and then they are deeded over to the VA. So the VA actually runs them. I didn't know that.
it's sort of like they give us the keys, here you go. And yeah, that's our staff, our housekeepers, our folks who work, in the medical center, the Fisher House becomes a part of our healthcare system, just like any other clinic would.
It's a wonderful organization. All right. So at the, anything else you need to report in on, Ryan?
I don't think so, Dale. I think I've covered pretty much all the big stuff that's going on right now. We've just got so many things happening and all positive things that are moving forward, I think, to get veterans the benefits they have coming to them, and then just offering more services, so that the care can be expanded and, things like that. So,
Brian, I'd like to give another kudo and really stress this with, the COVID increase in the area, the RSV, and also influenza A. If people have not gotten their flu shots, if they've not gotten their vaccines, I know firsthand that Ann Arbor is set up phenomenally. Mm-hmm. And when I was over there getting my flu shot, and family could also come, mm-hmm. and people were walking in going, I don't have an appointment. And the staff said, if you could just please sit down for a minute, it'll be about 15 minutes. They were working like clockwork. And so I think that is huge right now. So I want to give everybody a plug on the care side and say kudos to that staff.
Yeah, they do a great job. Just based on, needing flu and then COVID vaccines, we learned some things. And so we designated an area just out next to primary care as a vaccination clinic. That's what it's there for. And so folks can come in and get their vaccines and right away. Sometimes there's a little bit of a wait because if you know anything about vaccination, sometimes, you have to kind of thaw those out before you put them in your body. So then, and if you're sort of a walk-in and we're not prepared, then you might have to wait a little bit while the vaccine itself is thawed out. But you'll get it. Yeah.
And it's also a great opportunity to meet other veterans because you have to wait 15 minutes after you're done.
That's right.
So you can find out what is happening. I don't want you to go away because I found an article that talked about a couple of myths that have been pertaining to the PACT Act.
Mm-hmm. I'll do the best I can.
Yeah. All right. Well, the first one was that the PACT Act is only for Vietnam era veterans or those in a burn pit registry.
Incorrect.
Right. You are correct. It's veterans.
It's a quiz. Okay.
There are prizes.
All right. Incorrect. It includes Persian Gulf veterans, Operation Iraqi Freedom, Operation Enduring Freedom, Desert Shield, Desert Storm, moving all the way through. Yeah.
Yes. All of them. All of them. You are available to. It does. I mean, it begins in the Vietnam era.
Yeah.
But it goes all the way up to today.
That's correct.
Myth number two, and this one probably Carol Ann can get this one, says filing for new benefits will put your old benefits at risk.
No, that's not true either.
Okay. It says
Did I pass?
Yeah, you get the same prize. Thank you. says veterans who already are receiving health care benefits or compensation for service-connected conditions will not have their claims re-adjudicated simply because they file for new benefits under the PACT Act.
Right.
And that's
the beautiful thing is with the PACT Act, if you've kept, and we're seeing an explosion, I hate to use that word, but let's say you had a claim, A good one is cardiac. You were in Vietnam, Agent Orange, and you didn't get approved for hypertension. You didn't get approved for a cancer. It was denied, but now you've kept it open with either through a VSO, a county counselor. You go back in and you might have the potential to get back to when you first applied. The other thing is, if a condition is getting worse, you could get an increased rating. So that is, once again, very critical that you go back and assess your situation and ask questions. Just don't sit on it. Never give up hope. I know it's been a long time with Vietnam, but things are happening a little quicker with the burn pit and the PAC Act. I think the VA has realized, and Congress, but it is an issue of money. And so we're very thankful that they're addressing all of these issues.
I thank you very much. The line in here that I thought was really important was that if you are simply filing for benefits under PAC, it will not trigger a reevaluation on your older benefits, whatever you've had in the past. On the other hand, if you've previously had a claim rejected, you might become eligible under PAC. So as Carol Ann pointed out, don't give up. Keep looking. Number three, survivors don't qualify for any PAC Act benefits.
False.
I thought so. Right.
Yeah,
so,
you beat me to the buzzer. Yep, that's false.
Yep. Matter of fact, whether it's DIC or the Agent Orange, with some of them, when you're just talking about a claim, as we well know, you need to put the substitute in for that, within a year. But now with the PAC Act, survivors, we need to know that you're out there. Mm-hmm. That's the problem we sometimes face.
Yeah.
We send letters, we try to ping the family, once the veteran has passed, and sometimes we don't get any answers. And then it's years later, we find out, oh, well, we didn't know. So please, we want to share that with you. There are benefits for survivors.
I know that the VA in this article, and this one I believe is from military.com, is that it's the VA is attempting to reach out and contact survivors as well that might have been denied DIC benefits in the past. And so they hopefully won't have to wait to submit another claim. It also, I don't know if it increased it or anything, but it said the list includes survivor burial benefits, memorial items, a burial allowance, education, training, VA-backed home health care, so on and so forth. There's a lot of stuff inside this bill. I'm going to skip myth four because I think we talked on it about the VA not being able to handle the backlog, so it's not worth filing a claim. It's always worth filing a claim. You never know when it's going to, again, we've heard rumors already that, well, it's going to go to effect on January, but you're not going to hear anything for 3 years. Well, I think that's bogus. Don't fall for that. The last one is, and this is something we touched on earlier, is that I need to pay someone to apply for PAC Act care or benefits.
Nope. That's not true either.
That's infuriating. No, absolutely not.
That is,
you never have to pay anybody to apply for your benefits ever.
Nope.
So it said to be aware of the PAC Act related scams that are out there that are targeting veterans to access their PAC benefits. And what they'll try and do is they'll try to take a percentage of it.
Well, what happens, Dale, as I'm sure you guys know, is if you do get involved in some situation where you're suing for these benefits and you win a settlement of some sort, that settlement will come out of your benefits.
Right.
Right. The federal government will just take that payment right out of your benefits.
But
it kind of is a zero, it's not helpful and it's stressful.
But if it's a new claim, the attorney doesn't get anything. It's only once you get a denial and you're in the appeal state. The other thing, since you brought that myth up, Dale, because I've been seeing a lot of these, aid in attendance to fill out that benefit to help, there should be no money up front, no $1,500, $2,000, anything to help a veteran or their spouse to get that benefit. There is no cost for that, no matter what.
That's important. That's why we're doing this. That's why we're doing this. One of the things that I found here going through my notes is that in addition to all of the other benefits where it, you know, expands VA healthcare, it more presumptive conditions, mandates toxic exposure screenings, it also establishes a department for toxic exposure research. And that.
Yes. Yeah. There's a research component. True. Absolutely.
True. Yeah.
Which is just, I think is terrific that they're being able to do that. It's there's a whole lot of things that are inside this act, and it'll probably take us all year to cover all of it as we go, you know, continuing on into the future programming on our benefits program. And I'm just looking at all of these presumptive conditions, and Oh my God.
But you know what, Dale? The interesting thing is you've got Brian on right now from the Veterans Health Administration side. You know, I deal with predominantly the VBA, the benefits side. But you know the beautiful thing? We work so hand in hand that if the veteran needs an appointment, I mean, you could just ask Brian how much I bug him, calling him and asking him for help, you know, to get patients in, if there's any problems. So it's beautiful that we're talking about this act and how it dovetails between both departments. And look, we've already talked about the third tower, which is the burial, the memorial side of this. And so, you know, they all should be, and I think they're working better together.
And I agree. And again, encouraging our audience, you can go straight to the VA's website at va.gov, and you'll be able to find answers to many of your questions, and there are how-tos of filing claims and appeals and so on and so forth that are all there. So I would encourage everybody to do that. So Carol Ann, on the disability side, what have you heard other than a certain person I know got back a hypertension rating, it says, yes, it's caused by your service, but it's a zero rating again. It's like hearing. So is that something that we would appeal?
Sure. Because as if a condition gets worse, as we said, or originally it wasn't a presumptive, and, you know, we're going to have an easier time to get that veteran some money, because if anything is 0%, as we've talked about before, that's the VA recognizing that you got that disease process because you served. Now, they could just flatly say you're denied. But if you get a 0%, that's the first step for them saying, yep, that occurred for you because you served. So I would encourage somebody with their hypertension as it gets worse, or if you're placed on more medications, go back and talk to whoever was helping you. But please don't do it by yourself. That's what I always stress. You know, if you're going to the VA, let's say the Ann Arbor VA Medical Center, Charles S. Kettles, go and see one of the VSOs. Brian, I don't know what floor they're on anymore. They moved around, but seek out some assistance. But you're right, Dale. Any of those that were denied, or even if you got 0%, go back if your condition is getting worse.
Since we completed construction of the Welcome Center a few years ago, the VSOs were placed right there at the front door. So you just walk in and they're right there.
There's usually at least one of them there at all times. I mean, regular business hours like that. All right. I do have one last question. We're coming up. We got about 5 minutes left, 4 minutes left. And that, Carol Ann, this is for you, and it's on the family caregiver program. that if those of you that go to veteransradio.net, you'll see on the announcement for today's program that Carol Ann and a lawyer at Legal Help for Veterans, Deanne Bonner Simpson, did a video on the family caregiver program. So if you could give us a brief covering of that, that would be great.
As you well know, if your member of your family has been assisting the veteran with their care, they could apply for the caregivers. Now, there are other complicating factors or things that might slow this down, i.e., your disability rating, is there other ways we could go after special monthly compensation? However, with the caregivers policy, there are tiers now. Let's say with your team at, and I'll say the Ann Arbor VA Medical Center, you got your social worker. I did one of these 2 weeks ago, called in, spoke to that individual, the social worker for the veteran, because the veteran was denied. We found out why the veteran was denied, appropriate paperwork wasn't filled in, and the decision could be made at the local level. There are two other levels where if you want to submit new evidence, it's called a supplemental. You could go back in, submit information, have county counselor, a VSO work with you. That gets submitted up to a higher level in VHA. The caregivers program is through the VHA side. It's not through the benefits side. And then the third level is a higher rating. So let's say that you got approved, for a caregiver, but your condition is getting worse and you're incurring more bills, Dale, then you would put in for what is called the higher rating level. But you have to go through the process and get a ruling on that one. And maybe next month with benefits, we could address that a little bit more because it does get complicated.
Yeah, it does sound like it. I mean, I watched your video there and it was, you know, you broke it down nicely. But it is complicated. And the idea there is, and it's also designed to give respite care for, you know, the caregiver so they can get a break. And, you know, anybody who's ever had to take care of a family member, in many cases, you end up burning out before the patient does. And so, you know, I think, again, this is another example of the VA attempting to help out as much as they can.
Yes. Yes. And the hours of care, but the VA has always had a great program that you could go in and get home care, but I don't think a lot of people knew about it. And you could also get respite care approved, but I think the caregivers program defines it a little better and, payment to the, whether it's the wife, the granddaughter, you know, the niece, but they have to be approved. And you got to kind of prove that they could take care of the veteran also.
Right. I was going to ask that. It's going to be depend on the, isn't there like the four or five activities of daily living that you?
Oh, there's more than that, but yes. And you have to, you know, it's almost like, did you go through a nurse assistance program? Are you certified that you could help somebody eat and bathe and dress and, et cetera?
Is that program income based? Does a veteran?
It deals with that, looking at your disability. So that's what I'm saying. It's a whole package that you need to take a look at.
But if it is, I think it definitely is something that I think that any caregiver out there that's taking care of their veteran should look into if they're not, you know, being taken care of yet. I think I just thought it was interesting, really interesting and helpful. Again, another thing that can be helpful. All right, we're coming up on the end of the program. We got about 3 minutes to go. Are there any other comments that either one of you would like to make today? Anything we need to be aware of?
Anything? I think we covered it from my perspective, Dale. Thanks for asking again, but I think we covered pretty much everything.
If I go to the VA hospital, am I masked or unmasked these days?
You're, well, as a medical facility, you're still masked, and that's the case with all medical facilities nationally, whether it's VA or private, you know.
Okay. All right. Anything else going on at Legal Help for Veterans that we need to know about?
Just working hard to help our veterans. And, you know, we continue doing what we're doing. Just don't give up. Call, ask, and thank you for your service.
And I think that, I think Carolyn probably is talking for a lot of our veteran service organizations and companies out there that are helping veterans to do whatever it is that they can do to help you out. So we encourage you, again, as we do every month at the end of the program, we encourage you, if you have any questions about, you know, what you are entitled to, what benefits you may be entitled to, that you contact the VA, or we favor the idea that you contact a VSO, because the VA is a kind of a labyrinth of trails and things. And you need sometimes you need a guide to go down through those trails. And I think it would be really to your advantage to utilize someone such as Legal Help for Veterans or American Legion, VFW, whatever organization is out there that you are working with. I know that the VSOs are dedicated to helping you. And that's what we want to do here at Veterans Radio. We just want to make sure we tell your stories and get you the help that you need at all times. All right. Well, I want to thank General Caroline Falzone and Brian Hayes for being on Veterans Radio this week. And we will be back at the end of February with another benefits program. But in the meantime, if you have any questions, don't hesitate to send me an email. That's dale@veteransradio.net, and I will send it forward it on to the general or to Brian, and we'll see what we can do, see if we can help you out. So thanks very much for being on the program today. We got to go. Holy smokes, the end of the show. So you've been listening to Veterans Radio. We'll be back next week. Until then, you are dismissed.